In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi haqqa hamdih. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Muhammadin, rasulihi wa abdih. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi min ba'dih. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa nabiyuhu wa rasuluh. We begin in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. All praise and glory belongs to Allah in the manner that He deserves. And may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon Muhammad, His messenger and His slave, and upon all the believing men and women after him. We testify that no one is worthy of worship but Allah alone without any partners, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was His servant and His messenger. We welcome everybody back to continue discussing the pillars of Iman, or the fundamentals of faith. We said that when the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was asked, what is Iman? What is faith? He said to believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers and the last day, and to believe in destiny, the good of it and the evil. And we discussed the meaning of believing in Allah and its pillars, and the angels, and what and how we believe in the angels and the benefit in that. And we discussed belief in the books, what that entails for a believer. Now, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we'll continue to discuss belief in ar-rusul, the messengers. The Arabic word for messengers is rusul, the singular form being rasul, one rasul or many rusul, messengers. According to many scholars, and for all intensive purposes right now, the term Rasul, messenger, and the term Nabi, or prophet, they're interchangeable. They're interchangeable, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Allah the Most High, He says, in Surah Al-Baqarah, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the messenger has believed in everything that has come down to him from his Lord, and the believers, meaning, and so do the believers. They believe in everything as well. كُلٌ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. They have all believed in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِهِ. We don't differentiate between any one of His messengers. So, believing in the messengers, first of all, constitutes to believe in them all. Those of them whose names are known to us and those that aren't. Because in Surah Ghafir, Allah the Most High, He said to us, or He said to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, indeed we sent before you messengers. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَصَصْنَا عَلَيْكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَمْ نَقْصُصْ عَلَيْكَ. Of them are those that we told you their stories, and of them we haven't. So to believe in all that Allah has sent of messengers, whether we know of them, we've identified them, or not. Likewise, to reject any one of the messengers, even if you believe in them all, except for one, that means, and that entails, and that constitutes that you've disbelieved in them all. The proof is that Allah the Most High, He said, كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Indeed, the people of Noah, they have belied the messengers, in the plural. Person, if he reflects, hold on. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the Day of Judgment, they're going to go to Noah and say, you are the first messenger. Ask Allah to get the judgment started already. So if he was the first messenger, then why did Allah the Most High say, the people of Noah have belied, denied, rejected the messengers, even though none have came but one? They said this is so that we would understand that to reject one is like rejecting them all. And when Allah the Most High taught us to believe and say we don't differentiate between the messengers, the scholar said this means one of two things. Or it means two things simultaneously. Either one, it means we don't differentiate that one was a messenger and one wasn't a messenger. Right? One was from Allah and one wasn't from Allah. Also, what it could mean, and what it means that we don't differentiate, meaning we don't prefer one while disrespecting others. Sure, the messengers are of varying degrees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Al-Baqarah, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. These are the messengers. We've preferred some over others. So the preference is there. But to differentiate between them by disrespecting one, say, our prophet is better than your prophet, the prophet of our nation is better than the prophet of that nation, in this manner, due to what entails of lack of manners with the prophets, this is considered differentiation. And Allah said the believer does not differentiate between the messengers. Also, believing in the messengers entails that you accept all that we have been told about them, either in the book of Allah or in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him. either their virtues or the incidents or their miracles, we are obligated to accept that they did perform these by Allah's permission, and that they were indeed the best of the best, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ. And they, the prophets, they are, in Surah Sad, they are of those that are mustafain. They were chosen and they were virtuous. The scholar said what this means is their virtue is one thing, but Allah has chosen them. He has given them a gift that no one can reach their status. You have to believe in that. That no matter how hard a person tries, there's still a ceiling before reaching the messengers. You can't earn the level of messengerhood or prophethood. Or else you can claim that a person is a messenger. He earned it. No. We say they are on a separate level as a gift and honor from Allah. Right? You can be as, even in this ummah, you can be as hard as a worker you want. But Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was chosen by Allah. You can't attain that level. Khalas. Allah gave it to him exclusively. Likewise with the messengers. The best of believers has still not reached the level of the least of the messengers. This is part of believing in the messengers. So they were the purest, they were the wisest, most righteous, most trustworthy, most truthful, most well-mannered. Of the human beings, bar none without exception. And also they were the most merciful and most patient. Finally, after speaking about that aspect of believing in the messengers, the more relevant aspect, because we have to deal with it now day and night. What does it mean to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last of the prophets and messengers? A Muslim is not deserving of the name Muslim, right? Doesn't even qualify to be a Muslim yet, until he believes that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Allah's final messenger. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah the Most High says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was not the father of any of your men, but he was the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. And the seal of the prophets. And perhaps a small difference should be mentioned here to clarify. We said some scholars differentiate between a prophet and a messenger. But even then, they say that every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. So when Allah says he's the seal of the prophets, that means he's the seal of the prophets and the messengers. Because you can say, okay, maybe there was a messenger after him and there wasn't a prophet. No, there's no such thing. I was a messenger who wasn't a prophet. So he is the seal of the prophets, peace and blessings be upon him. So we believe that he is the best of the creation of Allah, and the seal of the revelation of Allah. And that from the advent, his being sent as a prophet, the advent of his prophethood, until the very last hour on planet Earth, no one can hear of him and then not believe in him, except that he will not be saved on the Day of Judgment. Allah the Most High, he says, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ مِنَ الْأَحْزَابِ فَالنَّارُ مَوْعِدُهُ. Whomever of any of the nations, whomever of the nations disbelieves in him, then the fire is his appointment. In Sahih Muslim, from the Hadith of Abu Huraira, he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul, meaning Allah. No one of this ummah, meaning the nation that I was sent to, right? The ummah of da'wah, not the ummah that became Muslim, right? No one of this ummah, be they a Jew or a Christian, hears of me and then dies without believing in what I came with, the message, except that they will be of the people of the fire. So to believe even, that a person can believe in other Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after news has come to him that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been sent, not someone on an island somewhere that hasn't heard, and to believe that they will be saved, implies not believing in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and belying this verse of the Quran and Surah that was just mentioned. Also, it's an obligation, it's part of believing, to have unparalleled love and respect and admiration for the messengers, and especially the messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of you has iman. We're talking about iman, faith. None of you has faith. Hadith in Bukhari and elsewhere. None of you has faith until I am more beloved to them than their parents and their children and all of the people combined. There's a part of belief in the messengers, peace and blessings be upon them. Also, of the respect, we said unparalleled love and unparalleled respect. Of the obligatory amount of respect that you must have for the Prophet ﷺ is to not raise your voice over his voice. Allah the Most High says in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. O people of faith, believers, right? Do not raise your voices over the voices of the Prophet. Don't be boisterous around him. Don't raise your voice over his words. At the end of the verse, he says, أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Or else your deeds would be forfeit and you don't even realize it while you're unaware. Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, he said that the scholars, and this is a famous tafsir scholar, Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, he says, and the Muslim scholars are all in agreement that it is impermissible to raise your voice over the voice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his life and after his death. It's all the same. This is a point of agreement, of ijma'. During his life, meaning when he's speaking, you listen. And likewise, after his death, when a trustworthy person of knowledge tells you the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, and he begins to mention the hadith, you're not allowed to speak until the hadith is over. This is part of the due respect that must be given to our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then a person has to say, if the volume of your voice cannot be raised during the mention of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words, then what about disobeying those words? This goes without saying now, that following his way and the rules that he came with are a part and parcel of iman. So to not oblige to his words, or to get a delusional understanding and say the Qur'an is sufficient, and not understand that he is the one that explained to us the Qur'an, and he is the living example of the Qur'an, and the Qur'an has no definitive meanings without the sunnah, right? His way, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to not take that as an authority in your life, this is a deficiency in iman by itself. As for, I'm saying this is if you're not complying, but as for you rejecting it, refusing to affirm, not accepting the sunnah to begin with, then this removes your iman altogether. A person cannot even be a Muslim. The proof, Allah the Most High says in Surah An-Nisa, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. No, by your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they don't have iman until they make you the judge in their disputes. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. Then they don't find any hard feelings inside of them from your decision. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And they submit wholeheartedly. And they submit willingly. So this is part of believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lastly, a critical matter tied with believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to not worship Allah except in the manner that he taught. In other words, no believer is to seek nearness to Allah, even if they're sincere, through an act or a ritual that was not taught or founded by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He himself said, and hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, from the narration of Aisha, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَضٌ. Whomever introduces something new into this matter of ours, not cars and spoons, no, in this matter, in Islam, whomever introduces something new into this matter of ours that is not from it, meaning not originally from it, it will be rejected. There's another narration for this hadith in Sahih Muslim that's important because it clarifies the point. That he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man amila amalan, whomever does any act that we did not command them to do, meaning in Islam, fahuwa rad, it will be rejected. The difference between these two hadith is what? The first says, whomever introduces a matter into Islam that we didn't bring about from Allah, it will be rejected. The second hadith is saying, whomever does it, meaning whether you're the one who invented this new ritual, this innovation or not in Islam, or you simply practiced it, it still won't be accepted. Because it says, whomever does any act that we didn't command them. And that leads us to another aspect of being a true believer in the final Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You're not going to know whether he commanded with it or not without learning his sunnah. So it becomes a duty to learn and not succumb to the conformities of society, not even Muslim society, inherited from culture or inherited from the forefathers, perhaps that's lacked in seeking their knowledge. No, you are obligated by yourself to seek the knowledge of this deen. And Sunan Ibn Majah, from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seeking knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim. The most obligatory of sciences that you must learn is the sciences by which you worship Allah. Something doesn't apply to you right now, right? Then you don't necessarily have to learn it just yet. Learn zakah when I get my job. Learn hajj when I plan on going to hajj that year. But there are certain aspects of the sunnah, like praying and otherwise, that you have no excuse. You are obligated to know how Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed them if you are of his followers and of the believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believers in his messengers. We'll stop there inshallah azza wa jal. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa sallallahumma ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallahu khairan everybody.